You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Well, praise the Lord. Good to be here. You know, as we always say, I always look at Pastor Mike and Sister Brenda as our spiritual parents, and been blessed to being raised in their ministry, and I've been sent out to do a work over in Greenville, Texas. Pastor Mike, you know, Sister Brenda, a spiritual mom, and Pastor Mike has grown to be our spiritual grandfather. I'm just kidding. I thought it was funny in the years past when I remember whenever he had blonde hair. And he got a little patch of gray right there. And everybody, you know, kind of like a skunk look right there in the front. Everybody kind of made fun of that and joked around. And now we're pastoring some 9 years ago, and I've got a little gray patch coming up right there. I'm looking for the day. I'm looking for the day. All that wisdom is going to show off right there. No, I'm excited about being here. Really, I'm excited about being here in the early morning session just preaching to you. The Lord has given me some things to share to the local church, but God has really put on my heart some things to share. This as a minister's conference, Accelerate 2008, to you ministers that are here today and in body ministry, and God is doing some great things in the local church. How many know that God's a friend of the local church? Amen. Listen, this is not our idea. This is His idea. And so we just want to always hook up with His idea. We are talking about accelerating 2008. Boy, we began to accelerate last night as Pastor Jan began to preach the Word of God, power and might. Listen, when he said you're going to have to get the CD or get the tape and go back and listen to it, he wasn't kidding. I was sitting on the front row just with my pen, just writing as fast as I can. He kept saying, turn to your neighbor and talk to him about, and tell him this or tell him that. And I kept thinking, boy, if I stop writing, I'm going to forget what it is he said. It was exciting. It's exciting. And listen, these are exciting times that we live. Amen. These are the days of God's Spirit. He said that this is that. When Peter got up and spoke, he said, this is that that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Amen. And we're seeing a move of God's Spirit unlike we've ever seen in the local church. And listen, I believe it's flowing from and through the local church out into the highways and the byways. We're seeing it in the supermarkets. We're seeing the Spirit of God moving in the workplace, at the gas pump. Listen, the gas pump is not a place where you just complain about the gas. That's a place where you meet God. Amen. There's some common ground when you pull up there to talk about Jesus and talk about, listen, we are trusting in Almighty God. There, God, we serve El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. Amen? There's no shortage and there's no lack with God. Amen? So that's the God that we serve. I want to share with you, if you would, to open your Bibles to John chapter 4. Let's get into the Word of God and just see what the Word of God has to say to us today. I'm going to have you turn to several scriptures today, so I just encourage you just to follow along. John chapter 4. Very familiar passage, verse 31. I'll give you just a moment to get there. John chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse 31. It says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Boy, what powerful words from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. See, there is a meat that's out there. There's some spiritual food that is being prepared for the body of Christ. And really, I believe we're in that day. How many know that when Jesus came, He came in the last days? So since Jesus, we've been living in the age of grace and in the last days. We say, come, even Lord Jesus, come. He says this, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore, saith the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Amen. I'm going to pull a Pastor Jan if I can. Look at your neighbor and tell them these words. He says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. See how important it is to be in the will of God. Well, I just want to be in the will of God. How many would like to be in the will of God? Hey, church, we want to be in the will of God. We want to do what God wills for us to do. Well, then we're going to do what he did right here. He says, my will is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Paul said this. He said, I press toward the mark. I forget the things that are behind and I press toward the high calling. See, the work that we have in front of us is the will of the Father. He goes this. He says, say not ye, there is yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already. They are white already to harvest. See, there's a harvest out there. It's already white. When you see it turning white, listen, it's prepared and it's ready for the reaping. Well, there's been much sowing over the years. There's been great moves of God, the power of God, and has poured out in the churches, and there has been sowing and sowing and sowing. And there is a time, he says, there's seed time and harvest. There is a seed time and there is a harvest time. Church, it is harvest time. I believe we're living in the time, the greatest hour of the church, when it is reaping time. It's time to bring people in. Bring the lost into the church of God. Bring the lost into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. See, that is the meat of the will of him that sent us. Amen? That is what the church is supposed to be feeding off of. The harvest that is right now ready to be brought in. Let's read on. He says, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Listen, we're not trying to rob from those that have sown. No, the Bible says that there is a togetherness, there is a union between the sower and the reaper. Can you say amen? Amen. There is a union between the sower and the reaper. There are some that sow and there are some that reap. In church, it's time that we don't forget the two. It's time that we blend the two in together. Let's don't leave one of those undone. For herein is that saying, verse 37, true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap, therein you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. Can you say amen? All right, God's saying that we are going to receive meat from the harvest that's already there. Now, I want to just address the ministers here today, and I want you to know not only is God a friend to the local church, but God has sent laborers to come alongside of you to actually help you in the ministry. So many times as ministers, you feel like you've got to do it all, and you've got to carry the load all by yourself, and yet God has got many out there that he's pouring a mantle of an anointing on to assist the local church, to assist you in ministry for the time of harvest. Let's go into another scripture. Look at Luke. Luke chapter 10. We're going to see this real clear right here. Luke chapter 10. God is into pouring out immeasurable favor upon his people. God is bringing blessings in the church. How many can say favor? God has poured out favor. We're hearing lots of messages, lots of preachers preaching on the favor of God, walking in the blessing of God. And yet we need to realize that we are not out there alone, but we are trusting in God, and God is sending us. There is a sending, amen? There is a coming in, there is a gathering in of souls coming in to do the work of the ministry. He said for us all to have a work on us and to work with the spirit of evangelism, to do the work of an evangelist. That's not just a fivefold ministry. That's not just the pastor's job or the prophet or the teacher. No, listen, that's for the lay people to do the work of the ministry. Look at Luke chapter 10. It says this in verse 1, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also. Other 70 also. That means in addition to. He appointed in addition to other people. Amen? I want that to sink in just for a moment. He appointed other 70 also. In other words, he appointed some. There was a ministry that's been poured out. There was a mantle of anointing poured out. But not only was that mantle anointing poured out to some, he also poured it out to 70 other also. in addition to. Now let's read on. He says, and he sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Now I want to stop there just for a moment. Let's just dissect that for a moment. He said the harvest is great. How many recognize there's a great harvest out there? I mean, it doesn't take very much eyesight to see that there's people everywhere when you walk out of the church doors that are needing Jesus. There's a world out there that needs Jesus. There is a harvest out there where seeds have been sown. They are ready for the picking. When we talk to people all the time, we say, where do you go to church? And they say, well, we're kind of looking for a church. We're kind of looking for a church. Or they're not opposed to going to church. They just haven't gotten themselves hooked into a church. They just haven't found a fellowship to get into. They haven't found someone to connect to. They are a harvest that's ready for the reaping. Don't just pat them on the back and say, well, I'm praying for you. I hope you find one. You know what I do? I tell them, come on to church with me. I got room right here. Get on in the car. We'll go. Let's hook up. Let's bring them in. Bring them into the and like Pastor Jan. I was listening to Pastor Mike talk about Pastor Jan yesterday. He said, well, when you go out with Pastor Jan, he says, that guy doesn't meet a stranger. He's going to talk to everybody. And as he was sharing in his message, he said he went to Walmart, and in the Walmart service center, he opened up a conversation and just began to talk to the guy about a relationship. See, connect with people. See, that's a harvest. That's a soul winner right there. Go into Starbucks and you start talking to them and say, do you know Jesus? See, that's the question we need to be asking people. Do you know Jesus? See, there are harvests waiting to be reaped. He said the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Church, let me just tell you, there are laborers out there right now. There is a laborers out there. Church ministry, let me tell you something. You are the few laborers that God has in His harvest. You are already doing what God's already called you to do. You are reaping. You are working. You are diligently working. But He says the laborers are few and the harvest is great. Now God wants to pour favor out in your life. God wants to bring assistance into you and God wants to help you. God wants to grow the local church. I mean, He wants for the house to be filled up. He said the banquet table is spread. He said tell them to come and eat. If we've got room around this table, He said, go out into the highways, go out into the byways, into the hedges, and compel them to come in. Let's read it on. He said, for harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Now I read this and something just didn't set right with inside of me. As I pray, I'm thinking, why won't He send laborers into the harvest? Why is it there's just a few people doing the work when there's such a great task in front of us? There's such a great harvest set in front of us. Why is there only a few people actually working or doing something? Why is it it's the fivefold ministry? Is it the pastor's job to get everything done? To accomplish all this, is it the pastor's job to go pick people up, bring people into the house of God? No, He says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth who? Laborers. There's work to be done, church. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 7. God is pouring out His favor upon the church. God is pouring out His favor upon you ministers. You are not alone in this thing. You are not alone in your ministry. I know sometimes, and even myself, I have sat back and felt like, boy, I am carrying the load. I've got everything weighted on my shoulder. And then God always reminds me of all the people that He's hooked up, all the people that's come alongside of me. He's told me about and just began to share with me all the people and all the things that they're doing. And then all of a sudden, I don't feel like I'm carrying this load all by myself. All of a sudden, I get joyful. I get happy. I get excited knowing that, hey, listen, we're doing this together. Amen. Look at this. He says in Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 7. He says that in the ages to come. Boy, man, that's good right there. The ages to come. Now, this is New Testament scripture right here. We are living in the ages to come. We are living in the very hour, in the very moment, in the very time in which this Bible is talking about. How many believe that this morning? You are living in the ages to come. This is not just for your children's children on down the road, but listen, this is something your grandmother and grandfather was talking about you. He says, and in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Let me read that in the Amplified. He says, He did this that He might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of His free grace, His unmerited favor, in His kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. Wow. That's powerful right there. That is powerful right there. See, you've got to see yourself accelerating in the favor of God. That's what this conference is all about, acceleration. We're catching the fire. We're catching the vision. You've got to see yourself burning up. Well, I like the way they put this Bible on there. It's caught a flame. Listen, something's got to catch a flame on the inside of us. We've got to see the harvest truly is great out there. Catch a flame on the inside and begin to burn with a passion to get out and get the job done. And listen, don't try to do it by yourself. Pastors, release some of that anointing that you have upon you into your lay people. Begin to delegate and send people out. Give them the responsibility to go out. There are people that are hungry. They're sitting out there saying, use me, use me, use them. I like Pastor Jan. He said that it was a young couple that got saved, got turned on at their church, and they went out and someone had gotten set free and delivered of cancer or some kind of illness. And when God set them free, all of a sudden their heart broke for these children. And they started a ministry for these children, just raising funds to bring a blessing into these children's lives. Listen, I think that that's an awesome thing to do when you release that anointing to say, all right, start that ministry. Go and touch another life. Go and reach a little bit further. That's that church reaching a little further. Say, well, is the pastor doing it? No, the pastor's no allowing it to be done. He's releasing that in through someone else who's ministering it out into the body. Amen? He said, you've got to see yourself accelerating in the favor of God. Notice it says, through the ages to come. Church, you've got to get tired of being average. Well, we go to church. We're just an average church, an average size church. We do everything average. Oh, no, church, we've got to step it up a notch. It's time to get beyond average. It's time to get with the ages that you live in. These are the signs of the time. These are the time that the harvest truly is great. This is a time when we're going to start reaping even where we have not sown. Where seed has already been sown. Listen, church, it's time to get out of the mentality of being average and reach out there and bring people in and see an explosion in the body of Christ. Got to make the Bible personal. You got to start seeing the Bible personal. You got to see that He's talking not to someone else. He's not talking to some other church, some other body, some other ministry. No, He's talking to you. He's talking to your local church. He's talking about your ministry and your calling and what you can do. He says you've got to see yourself receiving His exceeding riches. Look at your neighbor and say, exceeding riches. The Amplified says it's immeasurable, limitless, and surpassing riches. Immeasurable, limitless, and surpassing riches. The word surpassing, when you look it up, means never before, never been here before. Surpassing means you've never been here before. That's the kind of riches He's talking about. Never been here before. Oh, I've made $1 million before. Not like this. I've been rich before, not like this. We're living in a new age, a new time. We're living something. He says this is surpassing, means you've never been here before. You didn't just come full circle. You haven't circled that mountain. You haven't come back to where you've been before. No, this is something new. This is something that God is doing in this final hour of the church. We're seeing something different than we've ever seen. You say, oh, it has similarities of what God has done. Listen, the similarity that you're seeing today is that it is a move of God. The similarity is that it is inspired by God. But God has taken the church to new levels. He's taken the church to new heights. He's bringing us from glory to glory. Amen? You're not just getting back to where you are. No, listen, you've changed streets. You're going down a different road. You're taking a different path. God is bringing you, and God is, listen, I believe God is speaking to some of the ministers here, and even as we're preaching today, He's putting inside of you vision. He's telling you about doing some things that maybe you've been wrestling with, and you're saying, you know, I don't know if we should do it this way because we've never done it that way before. We've never experienced it this way. I don't know what people will think about me if I do this. Listen, who cares what people think? What is God telling you to do? I'm going to do some new things. I'm going to be open to and be sensitive to the Holy Ghost because I want to reach souls. I want to be a soul winner. I want to be effective for the house of God. When I stand before God, I want Him to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord." Listen, that comes from a heart that says, "I'm open to do whatever God you want to do." Amen? That word immeasurable, it means it will happen so frequent that you won't be able to count all the blessings. For Scripture says, count the blessings, count them one by one. But Lord, God is doing something immeasurable in the local church today. It says that you won't even be able to count all the blessings. Church, it's time that we quit trying to count them. It's beyond counting anyway. Have you ever looked up at the stars? You ever tried to count the stars? Eventually, it just all becomes one blur. Eventually, you go, wow. Yeah. See, that's the wow factor that God's doing in the church today. Listen, people are looking in at the church. And where at times people have looked into the church in a negative sense, I believe there's a hunger, there's an anointing being poured out from the church and from the body of Christ that there are people looking from the outside in and they're going, wow. There's a wow factor. There is something drawing them in. There is an anointing pulling them in to the kingdom of God because there is a harvest out there that is white already to harvest. The NIV says incomparable. Incomparable. Never have seen it before. Boy, I sure would like for it to get back like Azusa Street, you know, where everybody's praising God. No, he says incomparable. It's not like Azusa Street. What we're seeing, that anointing being poured out in the church today, is not like something we've seen in times past. It's going to surpass that. Amen. Go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap for that. Thank you, Jesus. This verse leads the norm into a new dimension that will be known as above and beyond. That's the way our God operates. He always operates above and beyond. More than you can ask or think. That's the kind of God we serve. What a big God we serve. Amen? A star-breathing God that's above and beyond. He's immeasurable. And He's wanting to pour out His favor, pour out His blessing upon the local church and church ministry. Let me tell you something. You've got to open yourself up to say, I'm going to allow God to use me to run in front of this thing, but I'm also going to allow this anointing to be poured out onto my body and the body of Christ that you've entrusted me with. And we're going to see lay people get that anointing. We're going to see signs and wonders and miracles take place, not just in the ministry of the fivefold ministry, but in the lay people of the church. The dictionary definition for the word favor says to endorse, to support, to assist, to make easier, to provide with advantages, and to show special privileges, to be featured, and to be given special providence. Man, that's awesome. That's the favor of God. Turn, if you would, to Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. I've got a few verses I want us to look at in the Old Testament. Hallelujah, Jesus. Joshua chapter 10 and verse 12. God's pouring out His favor. We need to recognize it. We need to be sensitive to it. John chapter 10 and verse 12. It says, "Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heavens, and hastened not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. He said that there was no day before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. You say, that's supernatural. That's awesome. How many know there's a wow factor right there? I mean, that God heard the voice of a man, a prophet named Joshua. When he stood up, he was a general that had been entrusted with a body of people. Church, I'm going to submit to you that he was like the local pastor. God entrusted him, and there was a war. There was a job to get done, but there was not enough time in the day to get the job done. There is a harvest of souls out there, but there seems not to be enough time. We need a miracle. We need a supernatural miracle to take place. Listen, if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, what He's done for one, He'll do for another. Listen, if you need a miracle, there is a miracle in store for your life. God is equipping you, and if He need be, He will stretch the hours out. I believe He will multiply the time so that you can get the job done. Can you say amen? Luke chapter 5, the story about the man born sick of the palsy. Let's go ahead and look over at that. Luke chapter 5, I want you to read it real quick. Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. Very familiar passage. He said in verse 17, it came to pass. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. It came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling which his couch in the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, this is an awesome passage, and I know all you preachers right now are thinking all the sermons that you could preach on every point that we're reading, but stay with me. He said, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Amen. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Boy, they said, we have seen strange things today. I want to read verse 26 in the Amplified. It says, an overwhelming astonishment and ecstasy seized them all, and they recognized and praised and thanked God, and they were filled with and controlled by reverential fear and kept saying, we have seen wonderful and strange, incredible and unthinkable things today. Church, that's where we are right now. A great miracle took place. Obviously, a great miracle. They let this man down, and Jesus, seeing their faith, he spoke to them and said, thy sins be forgiven thee, but that they might know the Son of Man hath power to forgive sin. He said, take up thy bed and walk. And when he got up, when you saw the manifestation of that miracle take place, church, we're seeing that today. We are seeing that in the body of Christ today in a greater number. We're seeing the signs and the wonders taking place. We are seeing the miracles taking place. The world, the natural man, is looking out from the outside in and seeing the miracles taking place in the body of Christ, and they are having a wow factor about them. He says this, it says, we have seen wonderful and strange and incredible and unthinkable things today. Now, if that doesn't change a life, if that doesn't excite somebody, It's time that people see the manifestation of the Spirit of God. We've got a Bible full of signs and wonders. The people, multitudes, thronged Jesus. They thronged Jesus. Why? Because the miracles, the signs, and the wonders were with Him. And that is evident, and that is very for the church today. We are living in that day. We are living in those ages to come. Since Jesus, we've been living in that time when we are seeing a harvest of souls come in. And they are seeing the miracles. They are seeing the signs and the wonders. And church and ministry, let me tell you, don't think it's for some other ministry. Well, that happens in big crusades because the expectation is there. That happens in big crusades because the expectation is there. And I'm not going to argue with you. There is a level of expectation when people come into big crusades. It breaks denominational barriers down. People come hungry. They go to a service like that expecting a move of God. But let me tell you that what's taking place here is there were a lot of people, a lot of naysayers sitting around when Jesus had that expectation. Church, there's going to be a lot of people come into the church of God and they're sitting back there with their hands crossed, just watching and waiting, wondering, is it real? Is it happening in the local church today? And there's an expectation on the ministry of the house for signs and wonders for the miracle of God. Listen, we are not faith healers. He's the healer, amen? We're going to line ourselves up with the Word of God and do great exploits for Him. Blinded eyes. Well, I like the confession you'll make. Blinded eyes, healed. Deaf ears, healed. Mute, speak. Lame, walk. We're calling people out of wheelchairs. We're calling people souls to come into the kingdom of God. We're calling marriages back together. We're calling people to getting delivered off addictions. We have an expectation for it because this is a sign of the time. This is the harvest that we're talking about. There is a wow factor, and the souls of the people that are sitting around are going to say this. He says, we have seen wonderful and strange and incredible and unthinkable things today. They're going to walk out of the local church and they're going to go into their houses and they're going to go, boy, you've got to come with me. You've got to see what I saw today. I saw a supernatural miracle today. I saw somebody's blinded eyes pop open today. I heard about someone that came down. They could not hear and they heard today. It's unthinkable. But that's what God is doing. That's the move of God. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Can you say amen? Amen. There is a power. Listen, I believe there's a dunamis power working on the inside. There's a dynamite power working on the inside of us. There is something, it's burning on the inside of us, like the two men in Emmaus that said, he said, did not our hearts burn? Did not our hearts burn within us? There's an explosion going off on the inside of us to do more for the kingdom of God. Listen, I don't want to contain this all by myself. I want to release that anointing upon others to go out and do that work, do what God's called us to do. James chapter 4 and verse 6. Hallelujah, Jesus. Look over James chapter 4. Everybody say, do the work. So there's some responsibility. There's something that I'm going to have to do. Yes, church, there's something we're going to have to do. We're going to have to answer the call. James chapter 4, verse 6. But He giveth more grace. Wherefore, He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace. Oh, I want to get the job done. I want to do it. Am I able to do it? He says, He giveth grace. Humble yourself before God. How do you humble yourself for God? I tell you, church, we need to be praying more. We need to be worshiping God more. We need to be hitting our knees more. We want to see the kingdom of God come to fruition. Then we need to get a posture of worship and start allowing the kingdom of God to come forth. Let's get out of the way of God and get in the presence of God and allow the Spirit of God to fill us up. He said that He giveth grace, wherefore He saith, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So submit yourself. Therefore to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Church, we've got to start drawing nigh to God. Start allowing God to move in our life. There is a part that we play. Psalms chapter 44. Psalms chapter 44. I realize a lot of scriptures to go to, but I tell you what, we need to get the Word of God on the inside of us. The Word of God sets you free. Psalm chapter 44 and verse 1 says, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou did in the days, in the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thine hand and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou had favor upon them." We're talking about the God pouring out his immeasurable favor on the church today, upon the ministry today to win souls. He said that God poured out his favor upon them to get the job done. Boy, you ought to read that in the Amplified. It opens it up, amplifies it. But I want to read it to you in the Message Bible. It says, "God single-handed weeded out the ungodly and planted us. We didn't have to lift a finger." That reminds me of Jehoshaphat, when the word of the Lord came to Jehoshaphat, when great armies were lined up and stand around him. The word of the Lord came and said, "Stand still and see the salvation of God. Stand still and see the salvation of God." Church, don't think you're going to get the job done. God's going to get the job done through you. We just got to be open vessels. When he said in the Great Commission to go into all the world, preach or proclaim the good news of the gospel, the work for you and I to do is to allow the Spirit of God to work through you. That takes all the pressure off of us. That's why we should skip about for joy. We don't carry any cares because we cast our care over on him. We're like Pastor Jan in Starbucks. We just say, "Do you know Jesus?" "Oh, I couldn't do that." "Yes, you can." Well, they're either going to say one of two things: yes or no. If they say yes, you've got another person to praise God with. If they say no, there's an opportunity to tell them about Jesus. Ministry always opens itself up to you. Listen, he says this. He said, "You're going to stand. God, for God's weeded out the ungodly and planted us. We didn't have to lift a finger." God's put this call upon us. God has put this ministry upon us. God has put the anointing upon us. Listen, we don't pat ourselves. We're not proud. We don't pat ourselves. No, it humbles us. It humbles us. We get humble before God. And God will use a humble person. For he says he'll pour his grace upon you. And his grace is sufficient. Amen? Hallelujah. How many can say you are a candidate for what we begin reading in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7? The immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor, in his kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. How many is a candidate for that? Church, I want you to take this back into your body. Ministry, I want you to know that God loves you, and God has not left you alone, but he surrounded you with a people that the anointing and that mantle is poured upon to go out and help you in the ministry. Amen. God bless you.